Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our partner in crime around here, Seth Halfhager.
Good morning.
And, of course, the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We appreciate the company. We are going to have some fun this hour, getting some entertainment news in a little bit. Got some other great topics to dive into, but it's a Thursday in the 10 o'clock hour. Everybody knows what that means. It is time for our Pet of the Week from the South Okata Humane Society. We have Denise joining us right now, but she's not alone. Denise, you brought a friend.
I did. Good morning, everybody. This is Cupcake. He is a two-month-old kitten.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Domestic short hair. Got a bit of a... my favorite coat on a cat is a gray coat. I am a sucker for it. The one cat I ever had was a gray cat. And it's almost an identical coat. It's that tiger kind of stripe and everything. Mm-hmm. Just a sweet little guy, it looks like.
He is, yeah. Active, but very sweet.
Gray eyes as well. Yeah. I want to point that out. His eyes match his coat, which is really interesting. Yeah.
I have to tell you, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see that face, like, on a thing of cat food.
Right, yeah.
That is a handsome kitten right there.
He could be a model.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Has all the bells and whistles as far as shots and neutered and everything?
Yep, he is neutered, chipped, and fully vaccinated.
Very nice.
At that age, 2 months old, is he trained yet? Is he or getting there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Cats are not hard to train. They're almost born with that innate ability to know they have to go in the litter box, especially if they have siblings. And he had a brother and a sister who both were adopted. So that's why I brought Cupcake in, and he's ready to go.
It's also good news for Seth and I. We would probably have to clean it. We would have to. It's very cool. He seems like a very, and like a lot of kittens, very curious in the best of ways.
Yes, he is. He's active. Just like a kitten should be.
Again, Cupcake is going to be over at the South Okata Humane Society. Encourage you guys to enjoy this animal as much as we are right now. Just a sweet little guy. He's very cool. Denise, especially you bringing in a kitten does remind us, though, that it is always kitten season. It just really doesn't seem to be an off season when it comes to that.
No, it's nonstop this year. We just took in two more litters of kittens. One's in foster. The other, they're all orange, and they're like, they had that little kitty pile, and they sleep for security, and they're beautiful, and they're all little fluffies like this.
Very nice. Something to remind everybody when it comes to things that we could use over at the Humane Society, or cat food, a litter, those kind of things.
Yep.
Especially if you're picking some up for your little guy, or and you can pick up an extra, it's always very appreciated.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything we appreciate. Cat food, kitten food, litter. Those are the big needs right now.
All right.
Anytime you can drop those off, everybody, they're greatly appreciated. Also keeping in mind in our community, especially people living in rural areas, and you know that they're outdoor cats, or just assume that there are outdoor cats.
Correct.
Right.
As we're getting, we have some summer left. We're going to hang on to it.
We are.
But even in the warm summer, cats are oftentimes looking for shade. And then, of course, in winter, we know they're looking for warmth.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping an eye out, it takes 2 seconds. I have timed myself many, many times in the morning looking under my Jeep, and it takes 2 seconds to look under there, take a look, and see if there's an animal under there or something.
Yep.
And just having some grace with that. Some class with it and everything. And also keeping in mind that these animals are, we have some great ones waiting for you over at the Humane Society.
Yeah.
Any events going on that you wanted to talk about, Denise?
Rock the Shelter's coming up September 6th. That's not our event, but we are a beneficiary of the event. So we send volunteers and we do all kinds of stuff for that. Our 5K9 run walk is coming up September 20th at Lake Wazeecha. That is our event, and we will be doing registration online currently through One Cause, through our website link and Facebook. And then we have a Friday night packet pickup and brat fry hamburger fry, and the next day is the walk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wanted to mention as well that sometimes you guys are at lunch by the river.
Yes.
Encourage people to stop by, of course, for so many great things, and hanging out with all of our local food trucks and our great people at the chamber and everything, along with getting to run into maybe Denise or one of the great staff members over there and meeting one of these cool animals sometimes, too.
Yeah.
We'll have Stella there today. Stella's one of our newer dogs that we've got in.
Oh, cool, cool. Yeah. I think maybe I feel like I met Stella because I've looked at her picture a lot online.
Yeah.
That does remind me that you can see Cupcake or Stella or so many of the other great animals over at the Humane Society. Your new best friend's waiting for you over there. And keep an eye out for the Humane Society at events. While there's plenty we touch on, there's some that you guys are able to be at that we don't always get a chance to tag
True.
You in, if you will. So there's that.
Thank you.
Of course, as we're getting closer to the final days of summer and everything, we know people like to be able to walk animals,
yes.
get over there, help out any way they can. Denise, are you guys still kind of open to that?
We are, absolutely. We're revamping our volunteer program completely. If you have questions, call us or stop on in. Otherwise, go to our website and fill out a volunteer application, and we'll get you on site helping out.
Nice.
And just a reminder, because this is something that has come up with in recent times when I've talked to listeners and even guests sometimes when they ask how things are going at the shelter, mm-hmm. how the animals are. These animals are always put in the right home.
Yes.
It's one of those things. I don't just throw that out there. I know working at shelters myself, but also talking to many the shelter directors over there over the years, and like many people out there have at our Humane Society, and how much good work you guys have done. You make darn sure that this is the right fit for the right home every
yes.
time.
Absolutely, because we don't want to give you the wrong animal that doesn't work out for you. So we put a lot of work into the right fit, fit for the animal and the right fit for the adopter.
And I not only appreciate that certainly out of you guys, first and foremost, but I love that we have a community that is actually asked those questions.
Yes,
I like that they do.
They're so involved. We are so blessed.
Yeah, nice. I like people looking out for each other, also
yeah.
looking out
yes.
for these animals and all
mm-hmm.
that. It leads to a stronger, better community.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked endlessly about the economic impact the Humane Society has and how gigantic that is, and
mm-hmm.
along with just the heart of this area and all those things. It adds to all of that, and it's wonderful to see. I am also very distracted by Cupcake's eyes. that is just a handsome cat.
Man.
It just really is. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a great cat. And Cupcake, so this is all we needed to do. We got to let the audience look a little behind the curtain. The minutes leading up to the interview here
yep.
and everything, Cupcake's all over the building except for where we need him.
Yes, just get running around, checking everything out. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as the mics go out, Cupcake's been great.
Just chilling.
Very
yeah.
locked in.
Yeah,
I feel
very
like
good.
I want to apologize to you guys, but first and foremost, Cupcake. I've gone this whole interview without asking any questions to Cupcake.
I'm very attentive right now.
Yeah,
he's
really
listening.
Locked in. I could have asked any question I've ever wanted to know about a cat. I really
yeah.
Do you really have nine lives? I'm dying to know. I'm curious. Learn about Cupcake and more at swchs.com, everybody. And be sure to join us every Thursday for another Pet of the Week. Denise, Cupcake, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
And we'll talk again next week, and we'll hang out again real soon. Thanks
yes.
for the time.
Thank you.
Find out more about our Humane Society, everybody. Again, that website, swchs.com. Head on over there today. You can also keep in mind, you can email them. Reach out to them at office@swchs.com. Give them a call, 715-423-0505, 423-0505. You can stop by at 3621 64th Street North, right here in Rapids. And be sure to follow them on social media. Share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see it otherwise. Check out Cupcake and More at swchs.com. And keep in mind, we're always looking for sponsors for this hour, mm-hmm. for this segment, I should
yep,
say.
Yep.
We'd love to have your business a part of things. Join the team. Putting yourself a part of a nonprofit, like Cupcake is trying to tell you right now, is
yeah.
one of the better things you could do marketing-wise.
Yeah, right.
Great job, Cupcake. Great segment. Great segment. He killed it during this segment.
Excellent.
We could all learn a little from Cupcake. I'm just saying. We'll be back with more show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Big shout out to Denise and Cupcake from our mm-hmm. Southland County Humane Society joining us with our Pet of the Week.
Good stuff.
Be listening next Thursday for another edition. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Cannot wait to see what Denise will have for us next week. That'll
yeah.
be a blast. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to diving into some entertainment news with you, Seth.
All right.
Let's get into it. The tributes and the comments about the passing of Ozzy Osbourne mm-hmm. have been, I don't know the last time I've seen this much.
The outpouring has been really remarkable. Yeah,
I don't say this lightly, but I want to say probably since Betty White, I haven't seen this
it
much.
It seems
outpouring.
That way. Yeah,
and also from so many different walks of life.
Absolutely,
so many people. You know, I reading Robert Plant talking about it was one thing. You know, that was interesting. But that's a fellow musician and a fellow Englishman, and yeah, so many other.
They have
things.
a lot in common, right? Yeah,
The different people in politics or cooks. Like just different walks of life and the influence that this guy had on them. Mm-hmm. But also, I got to meet Ozzy this one time and we had this fun laugh. We got to hang out this one time and had a great time. Mm-hmm. There are actually some religious leaders that have been out and talking about it, mm-hmm. and how although his music and his act was all about darkness and the Prince of Darkness, all this.
Sure.
Look at all the pictures you see of Ozzy with a cross.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was a guy who it meant something to him. Mm-hmm. He just didn't wear it on his sleeve. He didn't just advertise it and everything.
Yeah.
Also the amount of self-deprecating Ozzy Osbourne did throughout his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
There is a extremely funny bit from 2001 that back when Conan's old show after the Tonight Show he did, mm-hmm. where the morale is low, so they bring Ozzy in, and it's just him and Conan improvising. And it's hilarious. One thing that nobody gives a man credit for, good actor, good performer. Ozzy was good.
Tremendous sense of humor,
Ozzy also performed, of course, famously with Miss Piggy, mm-hmm. In one of his more humanizing moments and everything.
I heard a bit from an interview with him where he said it was basically two people, one on stage and one off stage. And he called himself John, which is his given name, John Osbourne. That's his given name. He says, that's who you're talking to right now. Is, you know, in an interview, I'm John, this is John, but when I'm on the stage, I'm Ozzy, and then, you know, and that's a whole different thing, kind of thing, which is, you know, you kind of see that with a lot of performers. You know, they are a different person on stage because it can be considered an act or something like that, or just being a show person, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And that's kind of what he was. I mean, that it's not like Ozzy was, you know, like some otherworldly thing, you know, mm-hmm. or was completely separated from, you know, his normal self. He was there, but it was like heightened, you know, it was to a certain degree.
And even Kermit, even the felt and wonderfully imagined creative world have jumped in. Oh. Kermit gave him his props on the Muppets Facebook page. He said, quote, "No one rocked harder than the great Ozzy Osbourne. Every time we bumped into Ozzy over the years, he made us feel as cool as he was.
Nice.
We loved having a friend like Ozzy Osbourne and feel so lucky to have known him, worked with him, and experienced his music over the decades." Of course, he mentioned Miss Piggy and him doing Born to be Wild on Kermit Unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful bit, wonderful rendition. Lady Gaga and her dancers took their final bow to Crazy Train during the Mayhem Ball in San Francisco Tuesday night.
Nice.
Chris Martin played Black Sabbath's Changes in Nashville.
Ooh.
Actually,
not bad.
I would never say that Chris Martin should cover Black Sabbath, but Changes, that I could see.
That's a different kind of song.
That's a different song. That's a different song. And one of my favorite newer artists, and I say new within the last 15 years, Wolfgang Van Halen and his band Mammoth played Mama, I'm Coming Home during a gig in Hartford, Connecticut.
Nice.
That young man is insane, insanely talented. It is remarkable. I'm listening to the... I don't get to listen to radio very much. I try not to be honest with everybody, other than our own stations and all that.
Right.
I'm just being honest. But I had it on, and I'm listening, and I hear this guitar, and it sounds so darn familiar.
Mm.
And I'm like, this is really good. And I pull up my app to, you know, tag mm-hmm. it and everything, because they never tell you the names anymore.
You're right.
We do over on 105.
We do.
But I'm like, oh, this is really cool. A new band I can get into and all that. And then I find out, oh, it's him, I've been following forever. I just didn't know it was his song.
Yeah, right.
Listen to their band, man. They're good. Mm-hmm. Mammoth is good. Tributes are even rolling in from all over the world of sports. The Cubs did a nice job of kind of remembering him when him and Sharon came by, even though that was a really terrible experience. It was a bad rendition. It was a bad rendition.
It was horrible.
Even Ozzy admits that.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the charm of it sometimes.
And that is. It is. Come on now.
And the New England Patriots thanked him for letting them use Crazy Train for their entrance music.
There you go.
Kinda cool.
That's nice.
It's been interesting to see and fun. And one last note on this, you know, for now at least. Ozzy Osbourne had a really cool take on how he wanted his funeral to go down. He said his family could do whatever they want as long as it makes them happy. He said, quote, "I honestly don't care what they play at my funeral. They can play a melody of Justin Bieber if they want. I just want everybody to be happy."
Nice.
I love that.
That's great. Well, he gets it. He totally gets it, because funerals aren't for the person who died. They're dead.
He said he did not want his funeral, in other interviews, that he wanted it to be a celebration, not a, quote, mope fest. Said he'd like them to play the Beatles song A Day in the Life.
Oh, man.
Which is crazy. That's my favorite Beatles song.
Yes, that totally makes sense.
It's also, anytime anybody wants to tell me that the Beatles are overrated or anything like that, that is, to me, the song that you play. Yep. Like, that's the
encapsulation of their career.
Yeah. He also said he would like the people to have fun and play a video, or maybe video games. That's, I don't know.
It's a true celebration of life. That's what he was looking for. Yeah.
It's pretty interesting, and I think pretty darn cool. I don't like lying to the audience. I will never lie to you guys. I'm always honest. Whether you like what I say or not, I'm always real with you. So I can't do it. I can't say this article, the headline is "The Final Fast and the Furious Movie." I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
No. The 11th and, quote, final Fast and Furious movie has been slated for an April 2027 release, and it'll mark the return of Paul Walker.
Oh, boy.
Who passed away famously off
several years ago.
Yeah. Vin Diesel says the finale will include a reunion for their characters, Dom and Brian. Obviously, Paul can't actually come back, passing away horribly in 2013. But if you recall, that happened during the filming of Fast and the Furious 7. So they used digital effects plus Paul's brother Cody and Caleb to finish the movie and give Brian a proper send-off. It seems logical that they'll do the same in the final film. Brian wasn't killed off. He retired to spend time with his family.
Okay.
So that part works for them well in that regard.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Honestly, the headline, all of this, it feels icky to me. I don't like it. Until I read that the family is cool with it. The family wants this. And I also, I've seen all the Fast and the Furious movies, and I enjoy them because I'm an action junkie and I like that stuff. But I also don't take them too seriously. This has a really big fan base. Huge fan base, mm-hmm. and a diehard one. And if it means something to them, I'm not going to act like I get it. I get that I don't get it, and that's okay. I think that how the Walker family feels about this is the only opinion that matters.
Right.
And I don't know their intentions or what they're, doing this for, any of those things. And honestly, it ain't our business.
No, it's not. It really isn't. And however you may feel about the idea of, resurrecting, for lack of a better term, people for projects like this, we've seen it enough now. Carrie Fisher and a couple other ones, they were all done with the blessing of the family. No one's doing this against anyone's will, that sort of thing. Although at the same time, we don't know what the person would think about it, because they're not here anymore. Maybe they had something to say, but of course we won't know. So
can I give my hot take on this? Yeah. Just between you and I, Seth.
Sure.
One of the things that I don't like about it is I feel like it goes against art. Hmm. The idea is to get the audience to buy into this world,
sure.
to dive in. We're going to take you away from reality for a little bit,
right.
whether it's to entertain you, scare you, make you fall in love, whatever it is.
Or even educate you, right?
Yeah, that's our job as performers. Mm-hmm. That's our job even on the radio here for a couple of hours.
Sure.
But we all also, we're in an agreement here. We all understand that this isn't real. This is pretend.
Yes.
It's fake. Right. But we're asking, and our job is to get you so close to it that you forget that.
Yes.
And our job as actors and performers is to do everything we can to make these characters and this believable, make it sound like the words that are coming out of their mouth are our own.
Right.
And all that. So anything that interferes with that. When I was in sixth grade, and I had my first big role, I walked around in gloves all the time because my character had them. And people looked at me insanely. And they were right to. I was in sixth grade. But I had I was going somewhere with it because it's my job, and I did a good job, and that's part of the gig. And everybody knows Paul Walker has passed.
Yes.
putting him in the movie, I feel like it's not like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the audience.
Right.
It's more of, okay, I'm completely out of this fake imaginary world now.
Right.
Now I'm back in reality, and I'm being reminded that Paul Walker died,
over a decade ago,
and
right?
Way too young. Yeah. Regardless young. If it was, all the outside circumstances, we can all agree it was way too darn young.
Right.
That's brought back. That's brought back
to, yes.
for the family, for everybody. And again, the family okayed it, so I got no word in this.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. This even happened long before all this. Going back to the Coca-Cola ads. And them including, like, you know, Fred Astaire and John Wayne and these things and stuff. And it just felt nasty. It felt tacky to me. It's not as if we don't have enough actors. It's not as if we don't have enough performers.
Right.
There's plenty of people that could fill the roles.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as trying to send off the character, it feels like a money grab. It feels like you couldn't come up with something else.
It does. There's something. It's just.
It feels like you're using his death to end your movie, to end your series, because you couldn't come up with something better, and that's just my opinion, and I'm sorry.
Right, and that's where you're at. Yeah,
and I like the movies and all that and everything, but it feels really
tacky. There's something that feels a little off about it, and I agree with you on that one. And I've not watched a frame of any of these films, kind of thing. And besides, we know it's not going to be the end.
Yeah.
They're just going to make more.
Yeah.
Because they make too much money. Why would they stop?
That's the thing. You make another one of these movies, shame on you.
Yeah,
shame
right.
Shame on you, man. Because that ain't right.
Yeah.
I want to wrap up our entertainment section with a report from our own Michael Comer, something he was reporting on last
night.
Right. On Playmakers, which you can catch every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. Shameless plug.
Yes.
Michael sent over that the Packers are going to be debuting their 1923 classic uniforms. One of the weeks this season during the NFL season. You can find it at Packers.com. They don't have a picture of the full-on uniform like a lot of teams do nowadays, right. where they show you the whole makeout. Mm-hmm. But it's actual gold. It's not yellow. I'm sorry. But this is the one thing I have as a fan that I can go against.
You're fine. You're good. Mass delusion.
But it's not only real gold. I think they're really cool looking.
Yeah, they are.
And so the Fighting Illini last year did something with their helmets where they made them look like they're the old leather helmets. And the detail they can put on these things nowadays, especially from a crane shot view, it looks like they're the
real
leather helmet.
It looks real, yeah.
The Packers are doing that with these things, only, I think, better. Like they look even like
it looks really remarkably good.
It looks like they were able to put some real money behind this. Which, if you heard the story yesterday, the Packers got quite a bit of money right now.
They're doing all right.
That's really cool. The 1923 uniforms look awesome. Again, you can go to Packers.com to check them out, everybody. And of course, during the season, we on the lookout for Packer game.
Keep listening
and check those out. They're pretty cool. I like this. I'm not always a huge fan of the color guard jerseys and some of those things, which is the most hypocritical thing in the world for me to say as a guy who is dressed in orange to black from head to toe right now.
He is.
I just realized what I was about to say. I'm just about to make fun of the NFL for having matching.
And it was all pointing back at me.
Oh, man. Okay. Oh, I eat my words, and I admit my hypocrisy, and I stand on that. But these throwbacks are pretty cool.
Oh, boy.
Again, go check them out, everybody. And stick around, because we got a great news break for you with some sports in there from our friend Mike Clemens and Melissa's News. We're going to take care of our partners. And when we come back, we're talking summer blockbusters. The top grossing summer blockbusters from 75 to present, but more importantly to us, we want to know what your favorite summer blockbuster
is. What is your favorite movie in
text
summertime?
It to us or call in during the show with the Civic Media app. We'll talk to you in a few here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show on WFHR. I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a holler. I like raising a holler. I like doing this.
Holler.
It's fun.
Great
fun.
Word. Yeah.
It's a great word. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Got some fun stuff we want to get into. Talk about our weekend schedule. We got some good stories of the day and a ton of great events happening in the area.
Oh, my gosh.
From today on through the weekend.
Yes. Fantastic.
All that coming up. One of the things to do during the summer, of course, is get into air conditioning by a movie theater.
Yep. Always good.
It offers that along with sometimes good movies.
Sometimes.
It's one of those I talk a lot about how I don't gamble, and I'm not a gambler or anything like that. I have no interest in it. But we kind of do with movies.
We do. I mean, because it doesn't matter how many reviews are out there. You can read all the reviews in the world. You can get, you know, the rundown from, you know, your friend Steve or whatever. But until you watch it yourself, you don't know how you're going to like it or not. Yeah, you don't know.
And as far as gambling goes, they ain't cheap. Like
that's part of it. You know? And you know you're not going to get your money back no mm-hmm. matter what. So you're hoping that it's one you like.
I wanted to, now we've all summer been in the media and a lot of people have been commemorating the 1975, the 50th anniversary of Jaws kicking off the summer blockbuster phenomenon.
Yep, makes sense.
Earned $260 million, changed the game. Was also supposed to be called What's That Biting My Leg? I'm 100% serious.
I'm so glad they didn't.
The original draft of Jaws was What's That Biting My Leg?
Oh. Peter Benchley, I'm glad they convinced you to change that. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
The history of that movie is just as interesting as the movie absolutely. Itself and everything. And part of the reason I wanted to do it this week was because of the Fantastic Four opening, which to a lot of us and to the media in general, to the masses in general and everything, out of all the big summer blockbusters, Superman and this one were the two big hitters.
Right.
Superman has done very well, is mm-hmm. continuing to, and a big tip of the hat to James Gunn and DC, and that's pretty cool to see. I enjoyed it. I liked it, and I didn't think I didn't honestly know if I would,
right?
But I did, and now the Fantastic Four. This is such a big one because of the amount of times they've tried to remake this and it's failed, and how much they're counting on this. Now they are in the plus column. Marvel is coming off a win. Mm-hmm. Thunderbolts did very well.
Yep.
Their TV shows have done well recently, mm-hmm. but they still really could use a bona fide hit,
right?
A unquestionable hit,
yeah, big one,
yeah. And that's what they're banking on with Fantastic Four. Right. I will say that out of all the incarnations of this, it's never looked better.
It's fantastic.
the crew, the team, the original, the four members that they have is the most solid four that I think that they have had in this mm-hmm. incarnation yet.
They finally got, they finally got Reed Richards right.
Yeah.
They got the right age. They got the right person, I think, mm-hmm. to do it. They've never cast him correctly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think that goes a long way, because he's got to be he is the rock, not the thing, even though he's made of rock.
Nicely done.
He is he's the foundation you need to build it on, is Reed Richards.
To commemorate the 50th anniversary, the AP put together a list of the top earning movies of every summer since then. Here are the last 15 and what they earned during their respective summers. We'll go through these a little fast because I want to know what Seth and what you guys out
there, right.
what your favorite summer movie is. And I'll throw some out there to help get the ball rolling and everything. Going back to 2010, Toy Story 3 pulled in $409 million.
That's the lowest? Wow. That's still a lot of money. Good grief.
I'm sorry. These aren't in order. They're just, they're in order of the year they were released, the biggest one of the year.
Gotcha.
Toy Story 3 pulled in $409 million. The very next year, in 2011, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 pulled in $376
million. Wow.
In comparison.
Yeah.
Which was the ending of that series.
That was the last movie, yep.
And I would not have guessed that a sequel to Toy Story would have outdone the last Harry Potter movie.
Interestingly enough, yeah.
In 2012, Marvel's The Avengers, $620 million, just in comparison. And keep in mind that number, everybody, that mm-hmm. 620.
Yep.
Iron Man 3 in 2013 pulled in $409
million. Wow.
2014, Guardians of the Galaxy, $281 million.
Boy, wow. That's a big drop-off, though, interestingly enough.
And these are the biggest movies of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Jurassic World, $647 million pulled in 2015.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, doesn't necessarily. I understand it's a lot of money and it's hard to do, but this last one, my God. My God, what a... that just... When you've got Mahershala Ali and Scarlett Johansson, and it's still a bad movie, like that's
on you. That's
enough,
not on
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, there ain't enough special effects to fix all that, dude. Man. That movie. Ooh, 2016, Finding Dory, $483 million.
Okay.
Wonder Woman in 2017, $410 million.
Really? I didn't. Wow, that's cool. I didn't know that.
2018, Incredibles 2, $603 million. Blowing away some of these superhero movies.
I mean, seriously, wow.
Certainly, you've got a wider audience, and that's part mm-hmm. of it, but it's also just these movies, man. I mean, you know, it's being able to, because they also are not just that, bringing in families, mm-hmm. they're bringing in kids that grew up on these movies and love coming back to them.
Right.
We saw this with all the Despicable Me movies. A lot of the kids that are going to these most recent ones are 16 to 18 mm-hmm. to 21, a lot in that age range.
Yep, that's right.
So you're keeping your fan base is that much longer.
That's right.
The Lion King in 2019, 524 mil. That was the live action.
The live action one.
Really interesting from here out. In 2020, now granted, COVID. But the movie Tenet pulled in 20 mil. And that's impressive, certainly, in a shortened season, if you will. But that Tenet, it gets to say that, I think, is really interesting. I love the movie, but it's very confusing. And it took me at least twice to watch it before I feel like I even got it. And I don't know. Christopher Nolan could tell me if I actually did or not. I will say this, though. It's the movie that really showed me that Robert Pattinson is an incredible human being, incredible actor.
Nice.
He's so good in that movie. John David Washington, Denzel Washington's son, just blows you away. It's incredible the performance he gives. But Robert Pattinson, man, he impressed me. Black Widow in 2021, 183 mil. Of course, not as many theaters opening up and all
that. A little bit more, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, during that time, the movie industry was begging everybody that had a movie to bring it.
Bring it to the theaters.
Please bring it to the theaters. Bring it to the theaters. And most people agreed, and we're doing that. Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise believed, no, I don't want to release Maverick until there are enough people in the theaters.
Right.
And some people were with this, some people were against it, but he does this. And in 2022, Top Gun Maverick pulls in $701 million.
Jeez.
And whatever you think of Tom Cruise, and there's a lot to think about with that guy, he bet on himself, and he was
He was right.
But miss me with I'm trying to give him his flowers. I'm trying to give him his credit. Miss me with the idea that Tom Cruise saved the theater industry. Okay,
get out of here.
That's a ridiculous statement, and it is a prisoner of the moment, and it is a joke. Mm-hmm. And I you lose so much credibility with me when you say things like this.
I think that was started by Tom Cruise himself. Actually, he might have
exactly. It was not only Tom and his PR team, but how about every single other person that worked on that movie?
Come on.
Tom Cruise is big. All right, Maverick was big. The Top Gun series is big. It ain't just Tom doing a one-man show.
No.
That's a ridiculous statement.
Yeah.
If you want to say that the movie itself helped the industry, mm-hmm. I get that, because it did. It helped the industry quite
a bit.
Sure
did.
$701 million
it
just domestically.
Save it, yeah.
Yeah, throw words around way too easy, man. And in 2023, Barbie pulled in $612 million, just a little bit outdoing Oppenheimer.
Yeah, which was, that was such an interesting summer.
Oh, and a really fun summer in the regard of the... This was not a PR stunt. This was not something that people or that a media team sat in a room and came up with, or a bunch of monkeys at a typewriter.
Yeah.
It had just organically happened, the Barbenheimer thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. I think that it was cool that people did that.
And it has not happened since.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they've tried to do that, but nope.
And in 2024, Inside Out 2 pulled on $651
million. Wow.
Are we able to say now that the movies are back? That people are coming back to the movies and all that on a more consistent basis? Mm-hmm. The numbers are showing that, because these are all adjusted, and all that,
right.
In our heads, at least.
Yes,
I don't know. I think it's an interesting list, but it doesn't have my favorite.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite summer movie? Do you have a favorite...
You know what? I knew this. I've been thinking about this because I knew the question was coming up, and I have to say, if I remember correctly, was the year 19? I think it was 90, the summer of 96. Mm. And now I just realized that my blog post on WIRI.FM is actually incorrect, because I said I don't remember anything from the summer of 96. I just remembered I went to see Independence Day like three times.
Oh,
because that was the year that it came out, and that was for me, that was the summer blockbuster that year. If I remember, my timing is right, I believe it's 96, and that was it.
That's a good one.
I have to say that one because of the memory of going to see it multiple times with different people.
And I think I feel like it had. I know that we had had big summer 4th of July movies. That one, not like that, not at the size of that, where it felt like everybody saw that movie. Felt like everybody had seen that one.
I remember when the trailers came out, and the White House getting blown up by a spaceship. Everyone was just, whoa, wow, we got to see that, and that's basically what happened.
Just as to get the ball rolling and let you know some, like The Fugitive from 93 was a summer blockbuster movie. Apollo 13, Edge of Tomorrow. Unforgiven, one of my favorite westerns of all time. Spider-Man 2, Risky Business from 1983 was one as well. Saving Private Ryan, another one that was another big one. Midnight Run. Great.
That was a good one.
Forgot about that movie.
Here you go. I got to throw this out there just because I mentioned it. So I did pull up. It was 96 that Independence Day came out. The box office, $817.4 million.
Wow.
That's probably worldwide. I don't think it's just domestic U.S. But still, from 1996, that is amazing.
Airplane and Animal House were also summer blockbusters. And I mean, Airplane, it's hard to, you're hard pressed to push against that. Big from 1988 was one. Another huge
That's a good one. That's a good summer movie, yeah.
You've got the Aliens movies and other Marvel movies, other ones. Ratatouille was one.
Goodness.
Ratatouille was a fun movie. Yeah. That's a good one.
Excellent.
Of course, you've got, I mentioned the Star Trek. That's what I meant to mention. The Star Trek
in
movies.
2009, yes. Yeah.
Finding Nemo was originally a summer blockbuster, so was Up.
Yep. Well, Pixar knows what they're doing, so yeah.
Yeah. And of course, E.T. E.T. was a summer blockbuster.
Another one, yes. That's when Spielberg was still doing the summer blockbuster thing, yeah.
On a personal level, on a film level, on an artistic level, The Dark Knight is not only the greatest comic book movie, I believe, other than Sin City, the original Sin City, which is literally taking the comic book onto the screen.
Right.
It's the best well-done one. My favorite comic book movie of all time and super movie or whatever is The Dark Knight, easily, by far and away. Mm-hmm. And that was a summer blockbuster, so I want to say that. But really, if I'm being honest, the thing that got me rolling into all of this was The Empire Strikes Back. And that was the first movie I got to see in the theater with my dad and a bunch of strangers that were yelling at the screen and trying to talk to Yoda. It's one of my earliest memories. And it has to be that for me.
Oh,
I
goodness.
Have to choose one of those two.
Totally with you. Totally with you on that.
And we want to hear yours. We got all summer long to talk about this.
Yeah.
Get them to us, everybody. We'd love to talk to you about it. What are your favorite summer blockbuster? Or just say favorite summer movie. It doesn't even have to be a blockbuster or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was a blockbuster to you. That's all that matters. We'll be back with more show. Wrap up the show. Morning show on WFHR. Show. You say yes. I say no. You say stop. And I say go, go, go. Oh, no. Welcome back, everyone. You say goodbye. And I say hello. Morning show wrapping up. We used this yesterday. That's going to bug me all day. Seth and James here with you. We are wrapping up the show. I want to send a big shout out to Pam, who got us some of her movies. Grease from 78, great choice.
Mm-hmm.
And Star Wars A New Hope from 1977.
That, Mitchell, that's a lot of folks. That would be that. That totally makes sense.
Those are great ones, Pam.
Yeah.
Also, Pam is a ninja. Pam sneaks in
she
here.
She sneaked in?
I don't know how
James
I missed
didn't
her.
Even miss it. I mean, it's amazing.
I apologize, Pam. I don't know how she does that. She's so good. We got a bunch of great, very well-talented people here at the studios. And in about an hour, you can find out just how talented they are. Not just on the airwaves here, but their writing skills, their editing skills. Mm-hmm. Get a part of the WFHR newsletter. It's your one-stop shop for Central Wisconsin news, everybody.
Yes. Coming up in an hour, they're going to be sending that out. So, yes, fantastic.
Get to WFHR.com, sign on up, and keep up to date on all local news and all the things going on in our area. And, of course, there's a nice comments section there. Encourage you to go ahead and leave any comments. Mm-hmm. Positive, negative feedback. We can take it all.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
We love ideas for stories or subject matter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Give us a tip. We love those.
WFHR.com, signing up for that newsletter. And a big, big time thank you to all of our workers on that. And Melissa in particular.
Yep.
We appreciate it.
Does a great job.
Melissa also gets frustrated at me when I say, hot off the presses, or stop the presses. And she's like, James, just stop.
It doesn't do that. We don't do that anymore.
It's just frustrating to her. I did come across some breaking news that I wasn't sure where to fit in. I'm sorry. It's being reported that Hulk Hogan passed away.
Oh no.
So I thought we should touch on that. I thought we should note that and everything.
All right.
One of the bigger superstars, especially as we keep talking about being 80s kids and stuff.
Yeah, oh, boy.
You can't talk about the 80s without him. And
he was big.
There's a lot to be said about Hulk Hogan, but it definitely is noteworthy when him passing.
Yes.
I feel
yes.
for his friends and family and the wrestling industry in general.
Mm-hmm.
There is no segue. I apologize, everybody, but I did feel like that was noteworthy. We should mention it.
Yep.
I did want to talk about our schedule this weekend, Seth. Beth, and I want to talk about some great things going on this weekend in our town. Let's start with our schedule for today.
Okay.
We got a great Rapids report lined up for you. A couple of wonderful guests coming in. First up, we're going to talk to our friends at UW Extension. We have Kazua joining us. She is going to be bringing in Hannah with her. We're going to talk about Foodwise Nutrition Program.
Ooh.
And some of the other cool things that they're doing over there. And in part two, our friends, Family Natural Foods will be in. Stephen and Katrina Hintner. Love hanging out with them. I try to shut up and just let them talk.
They're very good at it, too. We have to be fair. They're very good at it.
Looking forward to that. We will have Rafter Baseball on the radio dial for you tonight at 6:20. The Boys of Summer taking on Wausau Woodchucks. 6:20 pregame. Take in Rafter Baseball right here where it belongs at WFHR.com.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to all of that. And, of course, we've got a great weekend lineup for everybody. We don't get a chance to promote this that often, Seth. I want to touch on it for a minute.
All right, let's do it.
Great stuff going on all weekend long for you, everybody. Be sure to join us for it. We've got not only some great programming going on Saturdays with the Sunshine Polka Show at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out.
Yep, always good.
You've also got some great stuff coming up. Our best of hour after that, Seth?
Yeah, for at 11 o'clock, if we pick the best segments of the week to fill up that hour of the morning show, so we can do a second shot of it, if you will. We usually put in the Pet of the Week as a bonus, because a lot of people like that segment, and usually the kitchen's open as well. So if you missed either of those, we'll be playing it at 11 o'clock on Saturday.
Well, and businesses out there, keep that in mind. If you sponsor one of those segments or anything, get an extra mention on that.
That's right.
That's pretty nice. Of course, Terry Talks Nutrition is on at 8 on Saturdays. Be sure to check that out as well. Great show. Great, wonderful show. Mm-hmm. Sponsored by our friends at Family Natural Foods.
Indeed it is.
And with the summer season and Rafter Baseball, we don't always get to our whole complete lineup on Sundays, but 5 to 6, Director's Playhouse, Seth and I's chance to hang out with local creatives and get to know them and talk with them more. There's some great episodes available at WFHR.com. Encourage you to check out.
Including our most recent one with Kenny P.
Yeah.
A man who loves touring in Wisconsin, and he plays all over, so you want to check that out because you'll see where he's showing up next. He's fantastic.
Next week, a shout out to Kenny. He's awesome. Yep. Mm-hmm. And next week, we'll be talking with our friends from CWAC. Be on the lookout for that next week, everybody. Yep. And of course, after that, Seth Faces the Music from 68, two of the most original hours of radio.
That's right. This is going to be the final week, of course, because the Rafters have their game, their afternoon Sunday games starting at 3. It usually spills over into Seth Faces the Music. Last, got to do a new one last week because they were done by then. But this week, we're going to do a rerun for that. But this is the last Rafter Sunday game at 3 o'clock for the season. So starting on the 27th, oh no, I'm sorry, on August 3rd, we'll be back to our regular programming on Sunday evenings, including new Seth Faces the Music. But we do have a new Unlabeled this week, James.
Yeah, put together a tape 29 of the best of the 90s and got a bunch of requests. Thank you to everybody out there. Keep in mind that show I do, it's anything released from 1990 to 1999, I will play it. Get me your requests. Mm-hmm. Email me or text us through the Civic Media app or anything like that, and I'll play those songs. Yeah, got a new one for you. You're going to enjoy this one this weekend.
I think it's one of the best. I mean, the music, I love the music on this one. And normally you would hear Burn Before Listening at 9 o'clock, but because it's the final Sunday, we're going to do the Mystery Hour. We're going to continue to bring you that one, the last Sunday of the month. That starts at 9 o'clock. Again, Robert Young has a couple of great guests, mystery writers. If you're interested at all, not only in the mystery writing process, but the writing process in general, this is a great conversation. It's like basically two authors talking to each other about their processes, what they have in common, what they have different, that sort of thing. So check it out. It's really cool. It's really interesting. That's from 9 to 10 on Sunday, this coming Sunday.
And then next Sunday, Burn Before Listening will be back.
Yep.
Be sure to check out that out from 9 to 10. Great stuff lined up.
Best stuff from 2000 to 2009.
Some great things going on in our community, and a lot of it going on today, Seth.
Yeah, we've got the Farmer's Market going on right now, everyone, till 1 o'clock. They're at First Avenue South along the Wisconsin River there. They're going till 8 to 1 every Thursday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Go check that out. Always hopping down there.
Love,
and then in about a half an hour or so, we've got Lunch by the River.
Yeah.
Looks like the weather's going to hold out, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
you for not raining. Yeah, we appreciate that. It goes from 11:30 to 1. This week, the entertainment is the Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra. And I said this on WIRI. There's nothing like classical music outdoors.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about it that just makes it extra cool, and I think you should go check it out, everyone. Of course, there's always some great food trucks there, so get your cash, bring it down there, get some lunch, and then be entertained by the Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra.
Shout out to our chamber, all of our food trucks, everybody involved. Great work, everybody. Have fun with that one. Really wonderful event going on today over at Skate City with our friends from the ODC. Mm-hmm. They were in yesterday on Rapids Report talking about it. Sensory-friendly roller skating event happening at Skate City today from 10:30 to 1:30. So kicked off about a half an hour ago, but still going to 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
Just $7 a person, includes admission, quad skate rental, and a 1 hour of unlimited pizza and soda buffet.
Whoa!
Yeah, I need to get over there.
You don't have any sensory issues, James. So you're here fine.
Actually am. My eyes are light sensitive. So I actually have that going for it. But the wonderful thing about this event is this is for everybody.
It is.
And it's a great opportunity for kids of all kinds to get to hang out, be around each other, and have some fun. And I think a lot of people might go to this that don't have sensory issues, but find it a lot nicer.
Not as loud. Maybe you want it just a little bit quieter, right?
And by that, I mean parents. It's a wonderful event.
There you go.
Step on by there. Any chance to support our ODC, you're supporting one of the most vital and important and strong nonprofits in our community. Help them.
They offer so many things, too,
and
for all people.
Shout out to Skate City, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm loving the fact they're still doing stuff here. Love it.
Yeah. And our good friend, that's next week. I wanted to mention this. There we go. Focus has their neighborhood meals available tonight. 2321 over at West Grand Avenue right here in Rapids. Their meals are served from 4:30 to 5:45. The building doors will open around 4:15 for the dining room. You can check it out then. And a big shout out to Sparhawk Trucking and to our friends at Focus for offering these meals. Spread the word about it and let people know that might need it.
Yes.
We know our fellow Midwesterners. We're proud. We don't always ask for help and everything. Make sure that people know about that event.
Mm-hmm.
And a shout out to Denise and our Southwick County Humane Society and, of course, Cupcake for joining us. That was a lot of fun. I wanted to get one good story of the day in real quick here, world one. A kid on Long Island named Will Burl is in the news after launching his own burger stand and letting veterans eat for free. It's called it's called Will Smash Burgers, and all the proceeds go to a veteran-related cause.
You are amazing.
Great show today.
You too, man.
Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.